From the Ghost Knight Media Studios, welcome to the Paranormal Underground Presents podcast, where we explore the unexplained with our resident panel and our special guests.
Hi, it's Karen, and we have a good show today. We're going to be talking with Mark and Barbara Nelson, who are psychics. Before we introduce our guests, I wanted to introduce our two panelists. Today with us, we have our publisher, Chad Wilson. Hey, Chad.
Hello.
So, Chad, Mark is going to do a psychometry reading with you today.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that.
So, tell me what you sent to Mark so that he can read you.
Basically, it's a piece of paper. I don't even remember what I wrote on it, but just put it in an envelope and sent it to him.
Okay, cool. And also with us, we have our editor-in-chief, Cheryl Knight. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Good. I'm looking forward to talking to Mark and Barbara today.
Yeah, I like that we've been talking to a few different psychics recently on our show because it's been really interesting to me to see the differences in the ways that they work and the ways that they get their information. Okay, so our guests today are two people who I've gotten to know just a little bit over the past few months. I've appeared on their radio show. Mark and Barbara Nelson are a husband and wife psychic team. Their abilities complement one another, and you can hear them every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific on the Para X radio show, Positively Psychic. You can also learn more about them by visiting their website, positivelypsychic.com. Mark and Barbara Nelson, welcome.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Karen.
Oh, it's great. You guys have been so kind in allowing me to be on your show more than once. So it's great to have you with us. And we're also going to be profiling you in the, Cheryl, June?
June. Yes, the June issue of Paranormal Underground magazine.
Well, I can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's a beautiful magazine.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Okay, well, the way that we do this is we sort of take turns asking questions, and I'll ask you a few questions, Cheryl will ask you a few questions, and then Chad will ask a few questions, and then we'll go ahead and have you do Chad's reading.
That sounds great.
Excellent. Okay, so Mark, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your psychic awakening, because it happened when you were a teenager, and there were some things that led up to it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Of course. Actually, it happened when I was 11. My dad had died very suddenly, and I'm the oldest of six kids, and we were raised in a very traditional way. We were raised Catholic and not to think too much about ghosty things other than watching, you know, Lon Chaney playing the werewolf. That was fine and that kind of stuff. But after the funeral, we were all, I mean, like right afterwards, I remember being outside in front of the house raking leaves and trying to act like I'm, you know, still functioning as a human being. And I saw my dad standing at the foot of the driveway, and it's just like, okay, I must be crazy. I'm just having a happy illusion because I don't know what to think of it. And I had to close my eyes. I remember like squinting really hard, like, go away. I can't deal with this. And he finally did. And then again at school, I remember trying to, you know, hold on to normal day-to-day stuff, going back after your dad, you know, died very suddenly, and seeing him at school and just thinking like he's standing at the doorway to my classroom. And it's just, all right, I have to really push this way because I just don't get it. I'm not ready for it. And I really did. And then I didn't see him again for a couple of decades until I was an adult. And I was married, and Barbara and I had a little girl, and we just moved into a new home. And I remember thinking, gosh, it'd be so great if my dad could have met Barbara. I know he would have gotten a kick out of her. Barbara loves to laugh. My dad had a kind of a wicked sense of humor. And I thought it would be really, I wish he could. And then I hear this voice in my head. I'm walking at night. I used to take walks at night. I still do. And I would hear this voice in my head saying, I have met them. I have seen it. It's like, oh, come on. You know, I'm just giving myself, I'm having a happy moment of schizophrenia here. You know, it's like, I'm a benign schizophrenic. I've heard that phrase before. And so I finally said, okay, if you really are dad, tell me something I don't know because I don't believe this. And the same voice tells me, your brother Glenn is surrounded by green ivy. Green ivy. And this time, Barbara and I were living a couple thousand, we were living in the Midwest and in St. Louis area. and my family, including my brother Glenn, was out in Los Angeles. So I didn't want to out myself too much as like a one of these crazy psychics. So I called my mom up and I said, I had a dream about Glenn. That he was surrounded by green ivy. Does that mean anything to you? Oh, yeah. Your brother Glenn just got a job working at a floral shop called the Green Ivy. And, oh, okay. That's good. All right. So it's like, okay, all of a sudden, now this voice is telling me something I don't know. And then I had to also share this with Barbara, and she was very supportive. I mean, Barbara was into psychic phenomena before she even realized, you know, I had anything happening, and she was the one that brought us to meet this guy, Kenny Kingston, who's a psychic out here in Los Angeles. He would do spiritualist meetings, and her sisters brought her to it, and they're always kind of open-minded and free-thinking about it. And I remember Kenny Kingston grabbing one of my wedding ring and starting to tell us stuff that I thought was just fascinating. And it resonated with me because he's just walking through a crowd of people and people are holding things out to him, and he'll grab it, get a flash on something and hand it back. And I forget exactly what he told us, but it was like, gosh,
we've been together many years
and many times. And that makes sense. Barbara and I were good friends, and now we've been married 25. We're coming up in 25 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
We started when we were in third grade, and you know, local laws frowned upon it at the time. But so that's kind of the path. And then once I recognized that this voice was telling me new information, then I started to get information about other family members. And then someone else passed in the family, and I felt like they told me something new. And then I heard that, okay, it's okay for me to use this information to listen outside of the family. I felt kind of safe being able to talk to my dad, my dad who had crossed over, my grandfather. I felt comfortable with them, but I was curious if this thing that I heard would work with other people. And I walked into a metaphysical bookstore, and I said, I think I'm psychic. And they, oh, really? Okay, well, read me. And I did, and they seemed impressed enough to offer me a shot at coming in and working regularly for them, and I started to. I mean, it's not, you know, so it's been something I've done.
Wow. So how do you make that leap in trust between, okay, I'm getting this information from my dead father and dead grandfather, to I can walk up to somebody who's a stranger and read them?
Well, I really got a very clear message. This isn't just for family anymore. This isn't just for that. And so go try it. And so from the very beginning, I had to learn to trust what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara is learning that as well. I think that I've been more in the forefront in doing this work, but Barbara has become more and more open, and I think that she's developing her own ability in a way that does complement what I do. I will get to a point where I'm just turning it off, and her radar seems to be on a lot of the time when I just say, okay, I'm closed for the day. I put up a little close sign.
Turn it off.
Yeah, and Barbara, that seems to be when she's always kind of like looking, you know, to hear what is happening.
Well, and that's interesting. So, Barbara, that was another thing I wanted to know, was tell me about what your abilities are. Because I know when I talked with you guys before, you told me a story about, was it seeing somebody at the end of the bed? Do you remember telling me that?
You saw Queen Mary, there was something.
It was the Queen Mary. Exactly what it was.
I guess I'm what they call a psychic sensitive. And basically, I don't hear people the way Mark hears people and hears messages. Although I get messages occasionally. When they come through, they're very loud and clear. And I definitely tell Mark when I hear something, but not the same like he does. He can actually speak to people and understand them. But we were on the Queen Mary, and you know, we just got to the room, and we're dead tired. So we're, you know, getting ready for go to bed, and I'm sitting there in the bed sleeping, and I feel like this tug on my leg, and I'm like, well, know, I'm imagining something. So I move the covers around. I'm like, oh, you know, probably the wind blew it or something. And then I feel another, like a push on my leg, and I just slough it off. I'm like, oh, well, you know, okay, I'm going to bed now. So whoever, who's ever there, leave me alone. So the next morning, Mark wakes up and he goes, you know, there's someone on your side of the bed last night. And I go, oh, you got to be kidding. I go, because I felt something tug my leg. And he goes, yeah, there was a guy on the end of the bed. I saw him, you know, on your side. And I go, well, it makes sense. I felt something. So, you know, I think that a lot of times I feel like Mark's psychic secretary because, like, when he turns it off and someone wants to come in and talk to him, and, you know, I'm laying there just, you know, half asleep or whatever. They'll come to me and like, hey, can we talk to your husband? I have to say something. Can you wake him up? And so I go, Mark, I think someone's here and wants to talk to you. Tell him to take a message, you know. But anyway, that I think that I end up, I can feel when someone's around. And usually they're around because they want to talk to Mark. But occasionally they want to talk to me. Like I've definitely felt his father. I've seen his father. That's one thing I can do. I'm a visual person.
An energy about him.
Yeah, I never met Mark's dad, and I totally described him. He had a kinetic energy. He was a little bit shorter, and I described, you know, his features, you know, kind of a stocky guy. And I never met his grandfather, and I described him, you know, just their energy, not just physically, but just who they were.
Right.
And so I think that I have a sense of, I can tell if there's a male or female energy, if it's, you know, someone, a good person or someone that wants to create some trouble or, you know,
right.
But, you know, they're basically there to talk to Mark. And sometimes after he turns it off, you know, they come to me to let him know that they want to speak. So
how long have you been aware of your abilities? What has it been since Mark's discovered his? Was it before?
No. I believe that I've been sensitive my whole life because I remember being a little kid, you know, 6 or 7 years old and seeing things in my room, you know, and of course, you know, as a little kid, you're like, oh, what is that? You know, you don't know what it is, how to make sense of it. But I mean, I've felt things. I've been, you know, anytime I've been in a historical place, I've felt energies. I didn't know what to do about it, but you know, you sense things in old houses. And so I think that I've always been very psychic sensitive.
See, and I find it interesting because you're a civil engineer, is that right?
No, actually, I'm
interesting that you should bring that up.
Well, I work in the theme park industry, and I do work with a lot of engineers and architects, and I do a lot of kind of technical drawing and design work.
Right.
So it's funny because I know we talked about this before where I felt like I was an engineer in another life. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, no, I have a very good understanding of all that because I have to design things that are built.
Right. And well, the reason I bring that up is because a lot of times, like, I'm married to an engineer and he is an extremely linear thinker. So he's not necessarily always really open to sort of the more psychic aspects of life. And so I find it interesting because you're in a field although you design too. So, but there's a lot of linear thinkers in your field, and yet you're very open, obviously, to the whole psychic thing.
Yeah, no, it's the creative side, I think. And, you know, it's funny, Mark and I, when we run into people that are intuitive or sensitive, there's a lot of creativity in their background too.
Don't you think that creativity comes from
intuition?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Definitely.
I feel it's the same coin. I work as a writer when I'm not working as a psychic. And in both cases, you have to rely on an inspiration. you know, this is a good idea. I mean, I'm just like you. I do my research mm-hmm. before I do the work, but there is that magic moment when the research becomes just a tool and it's your intuition that you begin to rely on to create things.
Right. I feel like writing comes through me, not from me.
Well, that's one thing too, Karen. I think in speaking with you earlier, I mean, some of the things that you've seemed to bump into or just be aware of would indicate that you do have psychic yeah. ability, whether yeah. you're relying on it in a straightforward way that I might. But I think that you definitely do. I mean, some of the things you're aware of and seeing and feeling, I mean, to me, that says, okay, it walks like a duck, it floats like a duck. I think it's a duck, and I don't mean that you're a duck. I mean that you're someone with ability.
Well, you must be psychic, because one of my questions was, why do you insist that I have psychic ability? And there you just answered it before I asked it. And I'm teasing you when I say that, of course.
Of course.
You know, we've talked about this a little bit. Pretty much every time we've talked, you've sort of said, I think you might be psychic. And I've never said I'm not. Mm-hmm. I just... It's hard for me, and that's why I asked you how you made that leap, because it's hard for me to make that leap to being somebody who's empathetic or somebody who has a little bit of intuition to somebody who's psychic.
Well, I did think you were psychic because you seemed to be able to go into this place up in Wellington and then carry on fairly involved conversations or to get very clear ideas about the people that you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, what they're about, what they're like. All of those things contributed. And so for you to pick up on that without really trying, it says, okay, that is something that is a skill that's available to you, and that it's something that is it's an ability that you have and could develop further if you chose to.
How does one go about developing these abilities if they think that they've got a little something, that, but they're not really sure? How do you develop that?
Barb, do you mind if I take this?
Go ahead.
Okay. What I would say is that the first thing is to learn how to quiet your mind, because...
clearly you haven't spent much time around me, but go on.
Well, you know, meditation to me is the best skill. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that it really, when I'm not doing readings, and I don't do readings every day. I mean, I can go for a couple of days without, or some days where it's like, okay, it's back to back to back, and for whatever reason, I'm supposed to be doing this, so that's great. Mm-hmm. But what I would tell you is that when I sit down and I focus, and I'm quiet, and I pay attention to my breathing, and I pay attention to being very much in the moment, then it's great training for the psychic ability. I mean, for working with it. Mm-hmm. I find that when I'm able to pay attention to my guides and when they have something to tell me, that's a great practice for when I'm waiting to or between readings, because I do work pretty closely with guides. I listen to them. They give me advice on things. And they people show up for Barbara. And all those things together, it's a great segue. So if you want to work on your ability, if anyone wants to work on their ability, and for what it's worth, I am writing a book on it. And hopefully I'll have that. I haven't signed a contract. I'm doing it for Schiffer Publishing.
Oh, okay.
But it's a little publishing house outside Philly. Mm-hmm. But I totally believe that the more time you learn or spend learning how to stop thinking about the laundry, stop worrying about what we're going to have,
right.
You know, all of these day-to-day things.
Right.
And then you're able to get through and kind of quiet the clutter and the static that gets in the way of spirit saying, hey, I was trying to tell you something important.
Oh, I have a question. I have a question for you, Karen.
Yeah.
Do you pay attention to your dreams?
Yeah,
like, do you get messages in your dreams?
Yeah, actually, that's what I was going to say. Is one of the things for me is what you're talking about makes a lot of sense, Mark. But I don't have a mind that quiets easily, and I don't know if it's something that I've developed over the years, just as a way to sort of combat all of the outside stuff that comes at me. But I have about 30 layers of thought at any given time. Right now, I'm not just sitting here talking to you. I have 3 or 4 different thoughts going on in my head. I'm a multitasking thinker. So, but I have very vivid dreams. And I do get information in my dreams that I can interpret to things. And so I think that that's sort of how the universe goes around the fact that my mind never shuts the hell up.
Well, believe me, it took me some practice because people used to tell me when I was growing up, oh, you're such a daydreamer. You can't keep a train of thought on anything.
That's me.
You know? Yeah. And I also came to realize that maybe you're paying attention to more than the typical source of information. Maybe there are other things that could it be spirit? Could be all the different places where people speculate that spirit resides or comes from when we're dealing with them. Are they another dimension? Are they right here next to us? It took me practice and time to kind of set those things aside.
Yeah, and I gave up meditation a long time ago because it was such an exercise in frustration for me. And so writing has become meditation for me, or playing music has become meditation for me, where I can't, I shouldn't say I can't, but I have a very difficult time sitting and focusing on my breathing. My brain just doesn't like that very much. But I do hear and appreciate what it is that you're saying.
Barbara runs. She's good at exercising. And Barb, when do you feel like you get your stuff? I mean, I think she can
like,
things at night like you, Karen.
Yeah, I'm like Karen because I usually get it when right before bed. And I'm laying in bed and it's quiet and the day is done. And you just totally relax. And whatever you open up and whatever comes in, you get these, I get visuals. I get like little movies.
Yeah, and, I have that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like recently I was doing a reading for Mark because I'm starting to do readings for him now. And I had this visual of being in a hospital and we were pushing someone in one of those gurneys into the operating room or something. And I interpreted it as, Mark, I think someone in your family is going to have an operation or we're in the hospital or something. And sure enough, within a week, his mom was in the hospital having, you know, basic procedure, but she was okay.
Sure.
But, you know, when I get a message like that, I definitely tell him because it comes in very strong and I know something's up. So yeah, dreams are definitely, that's where you get a lot of the messages.
Well, and I have a constant slideshow that plays in my head. I just picture after picture after picture constantly running through my head. And I'll tell you the truth, I ignore them. I don't pay any attention to them because I would never get anything done if I sat there and looked at all the pretty colors all the time, you know?
Well, you're always doing a couple of projects. As I've got to know you, you've got it's the reason why, by the way, we've had you on the show a few times. It's like, okay, you're like a little factory, you know. Karen, her main product line is this, but she also does that, and she's, and then there's her friend over here, and then we got a magazine, and then we're doing this thing here, and it's like, okay, I get it. It's
yeah,
like,
but you know what? Yeah, I get the impression that Karen, your interest in the Wellington avalanche. I mean, I think you might have been on that train, or you knew you had a loved one on that train. I think you might be connected that way.
You are the third psychic to say that to me in 2 weeks.
No, I definitely
that totally makes sense to me because I mean, when you have something that kind of defies conventional logic,
yeah,
and for you to be, you know, a lady that's got her hands full with a family and you're a writer and then to feel such a strong pull to go up and connect and sort out that whole experience. Yeah. I mean, Barbara's saying it to me is really correct. That so you may be one of the relatives or someone that it isn't finished for you until you're able to find a close. You're telling their story and you're kind of finishing something that a terrible tragedy like that can interrupt.
Right. Well, good news is I know a really good past life regression hypnotherapist, and one of these days soon.
You do.
You do. Does her name begin with an M or an L, depending on how you look at it?
It could. Yeah. Yeah. So you know, definitely that's something that I'm looking into. Well, this is getting to be too much about me, though. So I'm going to actually, as much as I love to talk about me, because I do, I'm going to turn you guys over to Cheryl, who can talk about you guys for a few minutes.
All right, Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thanks for talking to us today.
before I begin my questions, Barbara, you had said something that was interesting regarding how you have the psychic abilities, but a lot of the times the spirits come in and request that they talk to Mark. So I thought, I mean, is there, when they do this, is there something that they're looking for in particular?
No, they just want to talk to Mark. Mark will be asleep and he'll be off, you know, he turns it off and, I'm laying there. It's usually at night and, they know I'm awake, or sometimes I'm woken up. And, you know, I'll get an image of male or female, and they're usually crouching over. They want to, like, really get my attention. And
oh, wow.
They're basically, we have something to tell Mark. So the next morning when Mark wakes up, I go, Mark, I think you should meditate. There's someone that wants to say something.
Maybe I'm inherently lazy. And
No, I'm the psychic secretary.
Yeah.
And so,
she gets you back on task. I'm too lazy.
Usually when that happens, it's something in the family or, you know, something is up. And so when Mark meditates, sure enough, something's coming up. And so, I'm totally used to it now. I'm not afraid in the least. So.
That's good. Because at first, you know, like you said, when you're a child, you know, trying to deal with the images or visuals or audio, that's coming through, it must have been really scary.
So. Oh yeah. I mean, well, when you're a kid, you don't know what it is. You can't, right. You know, you can't explain it. And, you know, but I was afraid, but I was also fascinated at the same time. Mm-hmm. So even now, like when we go into some of these places and do the investigation, you know, a lot of people will ask, like, well, you know, don't you get nervous or you run out screaming or something like that? And both of us are just like, no, we're drawn to it. We're fascinated. Mm-hmm. We go toward where the activity is, mm-hmm. You know.
Got it.
Some people are running from the noises and others are running towards them.
Yeah.
Right. Now, do you investigate with a group or do you investigate independently?
We do both. We do a lot with groups too.
We did that last night. We were out with about 40 people.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of a bigger, we didn't know what it was going to be about. We were, went out with some friends here in Los Angeles, 3 a.m. paranormal. And it's usually us, and just Barbara and I, and then maybe the couple that have found it are Joe and Rebecca Mendoza, and then they have a couple of other people that they work very closely with, and then they have other team members that are called in as needed. So maybe we'll have five people, you know, six. Oh, okay. And then last night there was, they said, by the way, this is an event. Can you be there? Sure. And then, there's 40 people. Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone's making noise. Okay, so let's see what we get out of this. Okay,
right.
Well. Everybody be a little quiet.
But what usually happens is we'll, like, break off. Like, Mark and I will, like, feel something down a different direction, and then we'll break off and go off there and where it's a little more quiet, and then we'll kind of do our little investigating there. So,
in truth, we very seldom, just Barbara and I, you know, we seem to be called in. It's almost like you know, let's say you run an exterminating service.
Yeah.
And that we're really good at, like, tree squirrels. And they bring us, so we get called in all the time for spirit stuff. You know, it's like, you know, there's a couple of groups that call us in. It's like, you know, we keep getting something and they just seem to stick around. Can you come in?
And,
sure. And so that seems to be the nature of it, other than if I'm doing a private reading for someone.
Okay.
And then we'll learn about a situation at that time.
So here's the question for you, and a lot of times people have a hard time answering. What's just – if you could name the one location that you've been most impressed with as far as paranormal investigation, what would that be?
Queen Mary.
Queen Mary.
Or Mary. That's good choice.
Right. It never disappoints. Never disappoints.
Yeah. We went there, but we did this little, you know, 2-hour paranormal tour recently. But it was impressive just doing that little, getting to know the history and doing a little investigation was pretty impressive. and hearing about the activity. It seems like there's a lot of activity there.
So. Yeah, and we feel like it's going home. Every time we go there, mm-hmm. it feels like going home. And, you know, the spirit activity, there's nothing negative there. We've never experienced anything.
Nothing scary.
Like, yeah, okay. I mean, some things happened there that were a little negative. But, mm-hmm. you know, we never feel threatened or, you know, anything mm-hmm. like that. And there's always something, you know, whether it's in your room or, you know, okay. going around the ship, there's always something going on.
I had a lot of experiences that were pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
On the Queen Mary, that was one place where Barbara and I and two other people actually heard a disembodied voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that was like just, okay, we all, you heard that? Yeah, yeah. And we all said the same thing it said at the same time. Just as a, you know, so we heard this voice speak to us. And okay. then I was by this famed, this infamous Door 13,
mm-hmm.
where this one young English sailor died. And so there was, it was really funny. The question was, I don't know, Patrick Burns was, mm-hmm. was there. And he was saying, you know, we've heard rumors that it might have had to do with either
a
bet or there was something like they were playing a game and for some reason they were jumping back and forth or there was like he forgot something and ran back. What did you hear? Can you tell us? I mean, is this guy able to tell you something mm-hmm. as to what it was? And right away I heard, oh, it's a bet. It's a bet. It was a bet that he could jump back and forth more times than someone else. And so after I left, they were doing EVP sessions, and they asked that question, and they got an EVP that said, it's a bet.
Oh, interesting.
So that was the first time I had a validation of a spirit, you know, an EVP validating something.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
It was very cool. It was very mm-hmm. interesting.
Very cool. Yeah, the Queen Mary, we got some interesting results. One person in our party did get an EVP. It's we think, you know, uh-huh. A direct answer to a question. Is anybody here? And I believe he got the answer, uh-huh, an EVP. Of course, he didn't hear it at the time. And it was at that around that door 13.
Yes.
That watertight
yes.
door 13. And then another person in our tour or a couple of people said they saw a little girl, I guess an apparition. I didn't see it, so I don't know, but they described an apparition of a little girl skipping by behind door 13. So it's just pretty – that's a really impressive place for sure.
Friends of ours with Apra Paranormal were down in the changing room by the mm-hmm. pool where this little girl is supposed to haunt.
Right.
And they swing their video camera by these booths. They swing it by once, nobody there. They swing it right back again. And if you freeze frame, you see the outline of a little girl's face.
It's on your MySpace. Oh, wow.
It's on my MySpace now.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. Okay,
I mean,
wow.
It grabs you. I mean, it's like, okay, that's – and just the
– interesting.
Okay. Nothing there. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like – it was just that rapid. And
it's a pretty good picture.
It's a good – it's really good. Clearly – it looks to me – some people said actually it could, maybe it could be a very old, small person, but it
okay.
looks like a young, looks like a little short girl to me, kind of
okay.
like a page.
What is your MySpace?
MySpace / Positively Psychic.
I should have known that. Okay.
Thanks. Sure.
Now, when you have visitors or you know, spirits come to you. Have you had any that have been just scary or more, I don't want to say evil, but just maybe not good?
Well, we did. There's two things. First, the most one spirit that really threw me off was my step-grandmother coming back shortly after she died. And it struck me almost like, you know, we've all heard, you know, theories about how much time does someone need to be on the other side before they understand where they are and what their situation
oh, yeah.
is. And I feel it's almost like she was careening around and unclear. And have you ever been around like a drunk person that doesn't understand personal space and they get like almost like to your nose before they back off?
Yeah, well, unfortunately.
Yeah. And who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
The breath for scotch or gin and oh the bleary eyes. Yeah, I live for that. No, but
my grandmother came up way too close, and it was like there was a panic about her. And so that was, she had just died, and I felt like, oh, my heart kind of feel, and then I feel that she came back at a later time. It's like, I'm in control. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But there was just this kind of, where am I? What's happened?
Confusion.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We also, there was some strange feelings about being, Barbara and I investigated Sharon Tate's, the property mm-hmm. where Sharon Tate had been murdered.
Okay.
And so there was like in the basement, there was kind of like some dark stuff there, but also too very energetic. Mm-hmm. Like we at one point we were getting, there was a couple of EMF meters that were just like bouncing like crazy. And I was thinking, you know, it was so consistent and so forceful. I thought, okay, maybe there's a problem with the wiring in this house mm-hmm. or the location, because this is all false reads, because they're just like too much boom, 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 boom. And the levels are high, and this was two pieces of equipment that weren't mine. And so we were with a group from San Diego.
Okay.
Well, and then I asked, though, and then Barbara wants to jump in with, but okay. I said, if this is really you, and I thought this is Sharon Tate, can you make these meters stop? And they did. They immediately just dropped off the face of the earth. They went from bang, 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 way up, mm-hmm. way up to nothing. And then we just kind of looked at it to make sure that it wasn't a momentary lapse, and then they started up again. And then we asked, would you do that again just to make sure that you're clear on this?
Right.
And then they dropped off the face of the earth again. Barb, was there another circumstance there?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but remember we were in the basement under the house, and it was in the, remember the big dirt mound?
Yeah.
And supposedly the house was built on like an Indian burial ground or something.
Okay.
Or it was Indian, it was Indian land. And mm-hmm. anyway, and it's the first time, you don't remember it, but you actually were nervous because you were like, we should get out of here. They don't want us here.
I remember that.
And like, I was trying to get everybody to get out because I've never seen you. Yeah, you were uncomfortable. And you're like, yeah, we should get out of here. They don't want us here. So that was like the one time where I thought you were a little bit uneasy. Yeah.
There was something
a little scary. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not claustrophobic, or I don't have any trouble with, you know, dark spaces, and you mm-hmm. can't do this kind of investigative work and have a problem with that. But it was just like, someone really, this is just not a good, I don't like this here right now. So this is bad. We should really mm-hmm. back away. And I do remember that.
That's interesting. Basically, when you feel like the spirits don't want you at an investigation, will you just honor that and try and get out like you're saying? Or do you just kind of feel it out and go with what makes sense to you?
Well, we'll leave at a certain point. I mean, and mm-hmm. what I'll do too is that I'll also sense that, like last night where we were out investigating, it's like, you really don't want us here, do you? And it's like, no, we do not. So, well, mm-hmm. I'll leave if you give me a little bit of a sign. Can you let us know that you're here, and then we'll be glad to go.
Okay.
And I try to. I'm not one of these people that wants to antagonize. And
no.
I do believe that
right.
you know, the overwhelming majority of spirit. If someone is there, it was an accident, or they have a trouble. There's trouble connected to them. And so if you're sympathetic, they tend to want to help. And if there is like a very bad spirit there, or someone that's embarrassed or feels guilty or has a negative reason for why they feel attached,
mm-hmm.
if you can say, well, I understand that, you know, this wasn't what you intended, or you didn't want this bad thing to happen. And they tend to respond, but then we will leave. We'll get out of the way and say, thank you. We appreciate, you know, you're letting us be here.
Gotcha. I think Karen has a quick question for you right now.
I do. I was just looking at your MySpace page, and you have your predictions for 2010.
Yes.
$4.75 a gallon?
I think it might get, well, that's Los Angeles. We're almost there anyway. No, I'm kidding.
I'm breathing into a paper bag right now.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. And you know what? I do reserve the right to be wrong. But as far as that goes, I feel like by the end of the year, there would be some things. I mean, I know our slow economy has taken the pressure off
of gas prices to some extent, but there are other factors that can come into play. And I have to honor when I hear something that could be high. And I know in Los Angeles, our prices are higher than most places.
We're about $3 a gallon up here right now. We're pretty high in Washington, too.
Yeah, so I think that it definitely could go up, and I felt that that would be something I should speak about.
Well, and you were right about Toyota. Your other prediction is Toyota will have a tough year, and they have.
Yeah, and that was before anything really kind of happened. And I thought Chrysler would look very different, and this was like, you know, last year when I was doing this, you know, last December. I thought, and this was before any deals were struck, and I just have, sometimes I hear it, and I thought it would be worthwhile to share that.
I always find those interesting. Okay, I was just wondering, you know, how accurate these are, and if, you know, maybe there's hope that it won't be $4.75 a gallon.
Well,
I'd like
you
to be wrong.
I hope not.
Feel free. I too would enjoy being wrong.
Okay. All right. Sorry to interrupt, but I saw that, and you know, just had to ask. That's a lot.
No problem.
Alrighty.
I wanted to ask you, Mark, about something I saw on your website, positivelypsychic.com.
Yes.
And it was a video of your appearance on a 2007 TV show pilot called Gifted.
Yes.
And after watching it, I thought, wow, that's really impressive. You know, and I like the show as well. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the show or your appearance on the show. Why you did the show, talk a little bit about what you did on the show, and then if you know, is that going to ever make it to air, or was that pilot not picked up?
What happened was it was promoted by, it was done by the Marta Kaufman, who mm-hmm. was the producer of Friends, a TV show that was on, you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of interest in the paranormal, and she and some people at Fox decided to put together a pilot. But before the pilot was completed, the people at Fox left.
Okay.
And so that made it kind of hard to go back and get it sold. I don't think it'll mm-hmm. ever see the light of day, but the production company was very helpful to me. They gave me copies of the film, of the show. And mm-hmm. what they did is they interviewed about 200 psychics in the Los Angeles, but it wasn't just Los Angeles. We had people ultimately that were from the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
At least one of us I know was Joe was from the East Coast. And
tell them how you got the part.
Well, what happened was I used to do readings randomly, and so they were just looking around to anybody that seemed to have some kind of web presence, and but they wanted people too that weren't necessarily full time psychics,
mm-hmm.
or people that, you know. They were trying to get people that what
you held it.
Oh yeah, well I did this psychometry thing where they invited us in and I meet one of the production assistants, and so I read this one producer and I said, you know, after the show, after this interview, it was like the end of the day, I think you should go home and pack because mm-hmm. I think you're going to be going on a plane very quickly tomorrow. And they're like, oh sure, yeah, all right. Whatever, thanks, bye. And then it turns out she went home, and then the production company called her, told her, go to San Francisco tomorrow, get on a plane, you're going, here's your ticket. And so they brought me back for the next round. And so we started out with, like I said, 200 people, and I ended up with 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of that guy, one of the guys, the
grandmother. Oh, yeah. And what happened was ultimately then it got to be real interesting. There was just like 12 of us left, and they were going to take half of us or something. And they gave me this little photo, this little sepia tone photo about the size of, 1.5 inches by an inch. And I said, what do you get from that? And I heard the name. It begins with an M, and it looked like someone's grandmother from 1938 or something. And it was like, I hear, okay, the name is Miriam. There's a name Miriam connected to this. And it said, the woman in the photo is named Miriam. Okay, that's good. All right, thank you.
Thank you,
you're
hired.
And so, but then
not bad.
Yeah, then they said, does Miriam have anything else to say? And says, yes, and this is her grandson. Okay, and she's telling me that she loved what you did with the house. And it turns out that he had just finished a renovation. Oh. And okay. And so there were other nice details that, you know, it's about being helpful. You know, okay. And that's really, it can appear like card tricks, mm-hmm. but it's not really, I mean,
the idea is to be of use.
Right.
Right. So on the show, I'll just spoil it. You basically won. You were named the most gifted out of the six psychics.
Yes.
And basically you were put through several tests in which you were, you know, accurate. Mm-hmm. On what the tasks were. Mm-hmm. And did that give you any type of like validation, or did you not need that at that point, or what?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you go on well, the show?
It was very important because they put you in kind of unusual circumstances that I wasn't mm-hmm. Accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm used to having one person sit in front of me, or on a rare occasion going out and doing an investigation, and I had not done as many. Mm-hmm. Up to that time, that after the show, people started to pay more attention to me, and more opportunities were made available. But for example, meeting these three people that turned out to be from Columbine High School. That was kind of an interesting thing. You know, I mean, I didn't know who they were, and I just realized, okay, this is it's almost finding out that, yeah, I could sing a little. Yeah. And then, well, can you sing? Can you sing rock? Yeah, let me try that. That feels very comfortable. And then, can you sing opera? Oh, mm-hmm. I guess I can hold my own if you're in the competition. You know, so it was just kind of a nice way to start exploring and playing with this, and that opened up. You know, after that, I thought, well, maybe I should try the radio. I don't have to, you know, see face to face. Maybe this is something that works the same. I don't know.
Okay, and you just mentioned radio. When did you start your radio show, Positively Psychic?
Probably late 07, okay. Early 08. And this was after the show. People, you know, offered me a chance to partner with them. I was on one network for a while, and it was okay. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that, you know, there was a lot of tension between me and this other psychic where, you know, there was a certain amount of, like, you're contradicting me. And I said, well, I have to pay attention to what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I decided to say, all right, let me see if maybe Barbara and I can go do this on our own.
Right.
And so we had an opportunity, and we decided to go with it.
And when you do live readings on the show as well as have guests on, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. When you do readings for people who come on the radio show, or just a one-on-one reading, what are they looking for mostly? Are they just looking for confirmation that their loved one or friend who's passed over is okay? Are they looking for specific information? What do you usually find is the case?
Quite often, people are. I mean, I get a real good glimpse of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
I get a chance to see that many people are faced with the same issues. Am I going to be in love with someone? Is mm-hmm. this will my work be okay? Is this a good choice? And then there's also too, I miss my mother very much, and I'm having trouble knowing. I need to know that she's okay. Can you be of assistance?
Okay.
And I can't always guarantee that because, I mean, I do make the case that while a large majority of the time, the spirit that knows your word about him or her mm-hmm. wants to let you know that they're okay, but not in every case. It may be someone else that comes through with a more pertinent message, something that's more important to you, whether you know it or not.
Okay.
So that's how that works. Mm-hmm. We hear it all. I've heard everything from, the price of gold. I want to buy gold. That was like, which gold fund should I be buying?
Right.
These are the names, and this is what I've got. What do you think I should do? And it's like, okay, well, if that's what you want, read the names. I'll respond to them as I hear it. And then there are other people who's like, oh, I don't know. What do you think? And
mm-hmm.
Then there are other people that, again, it's like, I'm here for my mom, for my dad, okay. for someone who passed. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never had a psychic reading myself, but I know Karen just had one, and it was very interesting. And so now I'm going to turn you over to Chad, and I know you're going to try and do a reading with him. So
yes.
I'm really excited to see how that goes. But I wanted to thank you and Barbara for answering my questions, and I look forward to listening to the reading. So, Chad?
Hello.
Hi, Chad. And Cheryl, I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Chad. Chad sent me a little note, and it was a very long note. It says, "Mark, looking forward to the podcast on Sunday, Chad Wilson." So, Chad, I'll tell you, I got a couple of impressions for you, and a lot of it starts out with work. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm seeing, it's almost like you're up to your, I got this impression you're up to your elbows. And I feel like that you're pulled into something that you can't let go of or won't let go of you for the a period of time. It feels like that you're almost on an assembly line. It feels like you're really pulled in. It's almost like you can't let go of this for a bit. And I feel like that I'm seeing, it looks like an assembly line of boxes. It's almost like you're shipping out a lot of things. You're sending out a lot of, they look similar, but it feels like that this is going to run its course. I feel like that it's almost like you're emptying out a place. And that I see that you're going to end up looking around and you're going to end up like in a very large space and you'll be by yourself and you're going to kind of like wipe your hands off and say, that's done. I'm ready to move on to the next challenge. But so what I would tell you is I feel like for at least the next couple of weeks, you're going to be very, very occupied with this. And this excuse me, feels all consuming. But I also see order in it. I see that there's a process and that you're the right guy to do this. But then it does come to an end and then you're I feel like that you can wrap this up, you'll close the door and you can walk out and then choose your next project pretty easily.
I'm just wondering if you're referring to, because my work, I don't do anything like that in my work.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you where I work.
Sure.
Disneyland.
You work at Disneyland. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, what it looks like to me is that this, then it may be more of a, it looks like an assembly line to me. That's what it feels like. So it feels like you're putting out one, they look like wrapped boxes to me. So maybe these are the experiences. Maybe these are the people that you help through Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, I worked at CVS for about a month last year, but I don't work there anymore. So.
Okay.
But, well, maybe.
Go ahead.
But I wouldn't see how that, what your, the impressions.
Okay.
Basically, are the impressions you're getting now, are they more what's going on in the now? Or?
I feel like that the work that you're doing, it feels repetitive to me.
Okay.
So that's why it looks like I see all of these boxes moving through.
Okay.
So it feels like you're in that once you get in, it you move quickly. So I don't know if this is part of how you work at Disneyland or what you do at Disneyland, but it looks like you're moving a lot of packages through.
Okay.
I do feel that if anything, your assignment would change then.
Okay.
So I don't know if you are locked into, well, what I would say right now, you are locked into a certain category, ride, experience, whatever it would be, and then that will end. It may have to do with maintenance or something, but then you get shuffled over to something else.
Okay.
And so that's why this place looks empty to me. So I feel like whatever it is you're working on at the park, and by the way, I see like it looks like beige boxes or packing materials is what it looks like. It's almost like you're shipping out a lot of, I don't know if you work on a certain ride or attraction, but it looks like it gets wrapped up and shuffled out, wrapped up and shuffled out. And that once you're in, it's almost like you just have to keep moving in the same repetitive way to keep up. But it's going to wrap up, and then you move on to another assignment in this area. The other thing, too, I don't know. You don't sound like you have a cold. I'm feeling that you may be prone to a respiratory trouble.
Allergies sometimes.
Yeah. It feels like that there may be some labored breathing around you. It may be more than just allergies at this time. So it just feels that
Well, I have sleep apnea too. So,
oh, yeah. I was going, okay.
Yeah, well, when I'm sleeping, yeah, sometimes I'll wake up gasping for air. I got a machine, but I don't use it right now. So.
Okay, that's something I would probably recommend to you.
Yeah.
Is there any acid indigestion associated with this?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, because it feels like a burn in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara, do you have a question? Barbara wants to jump in actually for
this. Okay.
Yeah, I just had a quick thing. Is your mom still with us?
Yeah, she's with us.
How is your relationship with her?
I haven't talked to her in a long time. Basically, she didn't want me to move out to California, and I did, so I guess she's a little bit mad at me. But
yeah, I just got an impression of kind of mending fences type of thing with mm-hmm. your mom. Yeah. And I think one thing that what Mark and I have learned through all this with all the different relationships with people is to always never forget to love and forgive. Mm-hmm. And I just got a very strong impression about, just mending fences with your mom.
Okay.
That makes good sense to me. I'm glad Barbara picked up on that. I tend to get in a little. Anyway, that's good. And I would say that's true. I think that she would also be open to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that she. I think that she's uncomfortable with the situation of being angry with you.
Okay. And well, part of it might have to do with the fact that she basically, when we were kids, that she basically gave custody to our dad.
Mm hmm. Okay.
Boyfriend over his kids. And I've got two kids back east, and I think maybe she thought I was making the same mistake. I don't know.
Well, I think that there's room for her to understand more about what it is that you're doing. I would ask you to mm-hmm. to open that door up and let her know. And if you give her a little peek into this, I think that that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
I don't see her passing anytime soon. I feel that she's going to be okay. So you have plenty of time to do that, but I wouldn't let that be something that would you would not move forward with.
Okay.
The labored breathing of the apnea thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that. What else am I going with this? I feel that is creating that might help or cause like an additional stress on you, maybe for high blood pressure.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that you're not allowing that to stress you out because it would take away some of the energy that you're going to need.
Okay.
All right.
I generally don't think about it too much.
Okay. Well, it could be something that is contributing. The other thing too, that if you are open to lateral moves at Disney,
mm-hmm.
And going to a different project or a different part of the park, you could enhance your standing there and do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Lateral moves are actually, if you're willing to make a couple of lateral moves, that'll enhance your ability to move up ultimately.
Okay.
So don't see it as a waste of time. It's not a waste of time.
Well, I tried to do it probably towards the first of the year, and I guess I wasn't experienced enough. So a lot of it has to do with experience. So.
Well, you'll get another chance, and that'll come to you.
Yeah.
So don't be dismayed by that.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I seeing here? The other thing, too, a lot of people have lower back problems. Do you deal with anything like that?
On occasion, yes. Sometimes it'll hurt.
Okay. That may be something that on this job you may have to make a switch at a certain point.
Yeah.
That would be easier on your lower back.
Okay.
So be aware of that and be very careful about that while you're on the job. I think that, too, that I don't think you're going anywhere. I do think that you'll be there for a period of time, and I don't want this to be all about Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. All right. I'll tell you what I'm seeing. I feel like that you're currently in a relationship.
Yes.
And it feels fairly nice at this point. I'm seeing the two of you dancing. So to me, that is a sign of romance.
Yeah.
So that feels nice to me. The fact that I see the two of you continuing to dance tells me that this is going to continue to move forward.
Okay.
It definitely would continue to move forward. If you're not living with this person yet, that feels like something that would happen.
I'm actually living with her, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that feels well, that's going to continue in a very nice, positive way. For some reason, she seems to like you. Hey, don't take that the wrong way, Chad, okay? No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. No, but that feels nice in that I think that she's very interested in what you do.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe she's a bit of a Disney fan herself. What else? I also see you both like collaborating.
Can you tell who it is?
Yes.
It's actually Cheryl that was on the podcast with us.
Editor.
Yeah.
Cheryl, did I say anything that was getting you mad?
Not at all. No.
Okay, well, let me tell you what I really think. No, I'm teasing. No, it feels very nice, and so I'm glad. Also, to the two of you, now that the cat's out of the bag, I also see the two of you collaborating, and it's almost like you're both pulling on the same project. Like I do see you collaborating. So I don't know if you work with Cheryl,
yeah,
but I'm seeing you're working together. I see the two of you. It's almost like you're pulling on the same project, like you're side by side dragging this thing along, but I also it feels like progress. So for as long as you need this Disney project, job, you'll have it. I see the two of you, it's almost like you're both pulling a burden together forward.
That's not many.
And how soon will it be successful?
Yeah.
Well, we do the magazine together, and then of course we work with Karen on Ghost Night Media.
Yeah, we have a business, so.
Okay, well, I do see that, by having preeminent psychics like myself. No, I'm kidding.
You say so.
Preeminent pinheads such as myself. It's probably not going to be very good for your careers, so I would encourage you to work with better people. No, No, but I do see the two of you continuing to collaborate. And it feels that, and that doesn't quit anytime soon. Cool. All right. So, and in terms of moving things forward, the other thing I do hear is that I don't know if this. Here's where it gets a little funny because I know a little bit. Karen and I have talked about stuff, but I do feel that you guys get involved with some TV work that would, if you're not pushing a premise or two around. Or getting cameras going to collect and get work on the air. I feel that there is opportunities to do that. I also feel that it's local. You know, some of your if you're able to do local ghost stories or local paranormal stuff, that you will be able to at least start to get on the wires and start to get some. You'll be able to build a reel based on that.
We have some premises we're pushing around, don't we?
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the ones we were just talking about recently. Yeah. So,
well, if you happen to need a good psychic,
we know where to go.
Barbara could recommend one to you.
Do you know any?
It's as near as Woodland Hills, I would imagine, huh?
Yeah, as near as Woodland Hills, this preeminent psychic that I waited aforementioned.
That's good. We're not too far away, so.
Yeah. Well, if you're down in Fullerton or Disneyland or something like that, Fullerton, definitely in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay, should I let you get back to chat? I'll mute my microphone.
Oh, no. Well, that was a big part of it. The two of you, the visual, I'll tell you, it's almost funny. It's like I'm seeing you pulling on the big, like a big heavy weight together, but I'm seeing that you're dragging it forward. So that means progress.
God, I hope I'm not the big heavy weight that they're pulling on.
No. Chad is not dragging you by the hair. No, you're not dragging a woman by the hair. That would be a very sexist thing to say. It'd be highly inappropriate, especially since we've all just. So. any other health issues? I would just.
I'm not seeing any other health issues. I see the romantic side of your life moving forward. I do feel that that part of your work would actually cause you to have to do some travel. Now, I know you've done this work, been up to Wellington, but it feels like it might you might have an East Coast connection. Oh, you had said that. Okay.
Yeah.
And it feels like it might be, I don't know, like Virginia or something. I don't know.
Kentucky?
Kentucky, certainly.
We're going to Waverly.
Okay.
Well, I've actually already been, so this will be my second time. So.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. Well, I have a brother in Crestview, Kentucky. So, and I'll hopefully get back and
we'd love to go.
We'd love that place. So, anyway, so I do feel if you're not dragging cameras along for that, I would definitely do that.
Probably so.
You know what? Too, I would also ask you to edit and put together your own project for that.
Okay.
Okay, and one of the things that Karen has done that I think would apply in a way I have not seen happen. And this is all your own, all working together. Mm-hmm. I just, all I hear about are the number of people that have died there. Mm-hmm. The idea of having a personal story, like some of the ones that you guys have, that Karen has pulled, I've seen the big dark shapes. Mm-hmm. I've heard all of this. But the idea that you might be able to get in touch with some of the actual people that may have crossed over there mm-hmm. could be a very compelling story.
Mm-hmm. And that's the idea.
Well, if you only had a psychic that might be coerced into going along.
I think some of our members on our site are going, and they're supposedly.
It's a group trip, Mark.
Yeah, and it's actually we've rented the place out for just our group. So.
Oh, us. That's very interesting. Well, I'm glad you've waited for the hottest time of the year to be.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Well, we're going to go later, but they don't book anything past August.
I'm just teasing. No, I used to. We lived in St. Louis. I understand that what 99% humidity is like.
Yeah.
So, as you do too, if you're from Kentucky.
Well, I'm from Tennessee, but yeah.
All right. Well, I of course I could hear a little bit of that in your voice, but
oh yeah,
just a little.
Just a little tiny tad. anyway, well, that's really the gist of it. I mean, in terms of, do you have a question that you would like me to look at in a specific way?
As far as the future, I mean, right now, you know, a lot of people are having financial difficulties, but I'm just wondering, at some point in the future, is it going to be kind of, you know, not as we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Or
well, my immediate visual, I'll go back. It looked like the two of you were working side by side and working hard. So I would say that for the next, at least the next couple of years, I do feel that it's going to require extra lifting on your part in order to make changes. Okay. But the important thing is that there won't be a hardship associated with it. However, okay. for you to create the things that you're trying to do, mm-hmm. it's going to require you working, I hate to say it, day and night. So, but I think that you get results because everything I saw about you was movement. It wasn't static. You know, I saw the two of you moving forward as opposed to like stuck. Sometimes I get visuals where I see people with their handcuffs on and they're stuck and they're kind of sitting there and they're hamstrung. There's no, they are not able to affect the change they would like to make.
Well, I'm wanting to write books eventually. I'm actually working on one right now and, you know, it's kind of hard to get the ideas to come out. It's basically a work of fiction. So,
I'm telling you, I feel that your work in historic area is going to be of greater importance. If this is historic fiction, I would ask you to focus in that respect. Mm-hmm. I think that whatever it is about you, there's going to be credibility there. So if you have a history, if you have a background in history, you're well versed in it. I would advise that you stay in that genre. It would be beneficial to you. I also feel that this is just I recommend the TV work that might intertwine very nicely. Okay. Not that different than what you're starting here. But I feel that it'll be a combination of history. I don't see fiction so much, frankly, but it feels like it's going to have to – I mean what you're doing here is moving. It feels like it's growing. And I would also – oh, the other thing I would ask you to do is to try not to put too many things going at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I would recommend that you make choices and then make sure that you're following your heart versus trying to keep five things going at once. You'll see the progress moving more slowly. So you may need to drop something in the interest of seeing actual true growth. And also, too, it may force you to make some decisions that are you may have been putting off for a bit.
Okay.
So focus. And you'll see more movement because there's a limit to every what you could do in a day.
The story itself actually does start out historically, but then it goes off into fantasy. So,
okay, well, clearly that's a good place for you, historic fiction. Mm-hmm. That would, as long as it's based, there has to be truth kind of to it and verifiable information. Barb, did you get any impressions, honey, about that?
About the book?
Yeah, anything about the fiction, anything like that, or am I? Okay, I'm rambling, so I'm.
I tend to try to put realism in as far as I can in the book.
Well, and also too with the fantasy side of it, you're creating a world that has integrity, and if it's based on a historic fact and circumstance, you'll be better off.
What do you think our ultimate purpose for being on being here?
I think the ultimate purpose. Well, let's say, how about your show for you and Cheryl and Karen and Barbara and myself is raising consciousness, raising awareness. And what that means in a more grounded, relatable way is that I want people to recognize that the things that to live life with their eyes open more, to not wander through another day where you're pulling my brother. I love him, but he uses this term. I'm just pulling the plow. Like, and he's from Kentucky. And it's like, Bobby. I love you, Bobby, but you're not pulling the plow. You're much more than that, you know. And it's like, look up,
people
look around.
Their mindset of being like they just every day is the same, and there's more to this life than.
I totally agree.
But even with eyes wide open, which I try to have, sometimes I feel like I'm pulling the plow.
Oh, there are days too.
Yeah.
It's like I'm at work. I got to take care. I got a deadline.
You guys do like dead grandmother type readings too, or you know what I mean by that, like the mediums.
Oh, of course,
mystic stuff.
That was the first thing that actually came up for me. Was like it was all about mediumship. I am some people, some psychics are mediums, but all mediums are psychics, and I definitely work in that area where it's very rewarding. And I love being able to make connections.
So how can you be sure how do you know when you're talking to somebody who's dead as opposed to just your own mind or some other kind of psychic information or something like that?
I'll get a lot of specific details. I had a lady not that long ago where I saw...
We lost him again. Cheryl and Chad are having internet issues and they keep blinking out. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But I wanted to thank Mark and Barbara. And I know that if Cheryl and Chad were here, instead of lost somewhere in the ethers, they would want to too. So thank you very much.
Well, Karen, it's been fun.
This has been great.
It has, and I'm looking forward to doing the profile of you in the magazine here in a couple of months, too.
I'll
write some questions and send them off to you.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be great.
You know, if you want me to finish that one last question about the mediumship.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. I get details about a person who's crossed over. Say, for example, this lady who came to see me. I said, I'm seeing someone that looks like your grandmother. I mean, she appeared. I'm not going to always say it's a grandmother, but the grandmother will provide details. I'm seeing an older woman. I knew my client was Hispanic. I was seeing a client, this lady, looked as though she was cutting her own flowers from a garden and selling them and handing her bouquets. So I'm saying I'm seeing an older Hispanic lady cutting bouquets and handing flowers to you. And what she said was, well, I used to help my grandmother sell flowers. She grew them. And so the idea that this is her handing me, she used to do that.
Right.
So that was very distinctive. Another client, she sent me a little piece of a painting. It was kind of a piece of graphic art. And I immediately saw a 19-year-old guy look like – I just heard 19, maybe 20. But at that age, he appeared to have passed on. He was thin, dark-haired, kind of tall,
saw him injured, hit the back of his head. And then I got a ton of details. And the lady says, well, my son was out with friends. He was 19, and he fell back, hit the back of his head, and passed away almost on the spot. So that's how I know I'm dealing with a spirit. I mean, they're able to describe themselves or issues of their passing. Going to homes where we investigate, people will say, we just did an investigation where I saw someone who lived in the house, shoot up in a bathroom, walk out of the house, and die. As it turns out, there was a member of someone's family, a young guy. I saw someone doing drugs, and then although he lived in the house, he died outside of the house, and right. And I heard heart attack. And so this young man used drugs, went outside, died of a heart attack, and we just got that confirmation last night.
So you get very specific information then, it sounds like, where a lot of mediums, I know what they get is kind of symbolic. It sounds like what you get is actually fairly specific.
I think it's important to provide validations so that people aren't fearful or worried. And for whatever reason, I'm able to see it and hear it that way, and it matters. Right. You know, being able to provide those kind of concrete details.
Too.
I get names. Mm-hmm. You know, lady that we just saw, you know, a spirit in a house. I heard Frank. I said, it's funny, it's a woman, but I'm hearing the name Frank. And she goes, Francesca. Okay. I was close. That, and it turns out there was a lady named Francesca who had died in this home.
Huh. I have to tell you, I was absolutely amazed, because what happened when I had this reading last week with Jennifer Hicks was that at the time there was a lot of stuff and I just couldn't come up with it. And she would say something, and who's this and who's this? I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know anybody. And as I did research in the week following it, more and more and more and more of it made sense.
That happens.
Psychic amnesia.
That the psychic amnesia.
I had it.
You're in disbelief.
Oh yeah, I had this lady. It was just like out of textbook. Where this very nice lady, she says, "I was hoping to hear from my husband. Well, I'm hearing from a guy. His first initial is Joe. I mean a J. I'm hearing a J. First name begins with a J. Short name. This guy is telling me this, 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 and this. And well, my husband Joe would never say anything like that. I don't know. Joe's telling me, you know, I heard it. So short name, Jay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very interesting to me to hear people do that work. And, you know, at the time I thought, well, she's doing pretty well. She's getting a lot of stuff. But then there was stuff and I would think, oh, that's a big miss. And almost none of it was a miss. It was really interesting to me.
Well, if I stopped talking every time someone said, oh, no, you're a fool for bringing that up. What could you be thinking?
Yeah.
You're useless. You're a useless psychic medium.
Excuse me.
Oh, sure. I'm riffing here. But
no, you're doing fine. Yeah, if anybody said that you were a useless psychic medium, that would... I agree. Well, I never say that. I tried to provide as little feedback as possible when I did it.
Sure.
You know, but at the same time, you sort of want to say, wait, does this mean this?
Well, I'm being a little arch and ridiculous again, but, you know, it's just, if someone doesn't know, they don't want to respond, then I just, okay, then it's almost like I just have to keep going. And afterwards, sometimes it's the people that say the very least that are the most touched and impressed afterwards. And it isn't about me making myself out to be a big deal. It's about me being a useful connection. And Barbara's work too. And Barbara truly is emerging in her ability as she comes to see how it can affect people. I think that she's getting better at it.
It's incredibly valuable. You know, I had no expectations going into a reading other than that it, you know, it's going to be the dead grandmother stuff, as I call it. And to go into that reading and get the information that I did about, and of course it was all about Wellington, which is something that's so meaningful to me. And to have information that when I go up there now, I'm going to be able to use to talk to the spirits that are there, and to find out that a couple of the spirits are so happy with what I've done that they hang out at my house and protect my child. And, you know,
that's great.
That's really important. And it may be very much time to ask them, was I there? Mm-hmm.
She did ask.
And did she get anything interesting? Okay.
Yes. They said I was. So, you know, I'd like to do that past life regression and see. But then I asked Melissa, well, if I do that, am I going to just go there because that's where I expect to go? And she said, it doesn't work that way.
I would agree. I think that there, you know, you're going to get to a place where you're hearing and saying things that you don't know, mm-hmm. and you're just going to get some validations that are unexpected.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. So, well, you know, it's all sort of this spectrum of things that you can do to realize that what's happening out there is a lot bigger than your little life. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the delightful thing. And when you write books like yours, it does get people to rethink their lives and or to view their lives with new eyes. And that's really a gift that you're giving to people.
Well, it's you know, everybody in the chain. You do what you do, and I write what I write. And
we all are. Yeah, we're trying.
It's the circle of life.
Kumbaya, my friends. Kumbaya, everybody.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up and let you guys go. And Cheryl and Chad popped on and then disappeared again. So they're just having some real trouble at their house. So I don't think they'll be back, but I know that Chad appreciated the reading and he was really interested to see what you had to say. So I'll get his impressions. And
I love that.
Yeah.
They were great.
And I do hope that we can get a chance to, under the right circumstances, whether we meet somewhere, whether we go to Wellington or we go to Kentucky, I mean, we're trying to figure out our big hits, and so places we want to go to,
right?
And going with people that of a like mind that are fun, mm-hmm. Certainly makes it worth the trip.
Well, the Wellington trip, take a look on the website, and okay. it's actually in our forum, and it's in a super secret forum, so you'll have to message Cheryl. Or Chad, and she's Mystical Knight, and he's a Sithy. And if you message either one of them, they'll tell you how to sign into that forum, because I don't remember.
Okay. Okay. And extra top secret.
That's right. So then they can get you in, and you can kind of look at the trip details and see what it would entail. But that'd be great if you guys would go along. And, of course, as you know, I die in to get you up here to go to Wellington.
I'd love it because it sounds interesting. I've meant what I said about I'm just a short way into the book, but you're putting meat on the bones that makes their stories all the more compelling.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much, you guys. It's been really fun having you on the show. And thanks for having me on your show so many times, too.
Well, Karen, we look forward to the next one.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Paranormal Underground Presents is a presentation of Paranormal Underground and Ghost Knight Media. For more information, please visit www.paranormalunderground.net or www.ghostknightmedia.com.